T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named best radio show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're glad you're on board today. Thanks so much, as always, for hanging out with us as we get ready for more March Madness tonight. And then the official start, we'll say, of the tournament beginning tomorrow as all the madness begins to hit. By the way, for those that were asking if I was going to put a picture out of my bracket, I finished my bracket today, and I went ahead, scanned it, and posted it. If you want to check it out, it's over on the Facebook fan page. That's where you can find it. Go to facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. And a couple of things I had to make some decisions on. I even actually made a decision and scratched it out and went in a different direction. But it's all the handwritten stuff. It's right then and there for you to see. So that way there's no cheating, so to speak. Because some people will accuse others of cheating, and I'm just going to put it out there. You can take a look at it and kind of go from there. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends over there at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, it's where they believe in better at Cousin Subs, and they're doing it for catering. Whether it's big parties of 10,000 or down to 10 people or just a small sales meeting, they can do it all over at Cousin Subs. And they can do it all with party boxes, 2-foot party subs. They can do it with soups, salads, cookies, desserts, chips, Radio Joe cheese curds, whatever it may be. They've got something for everybody. Go to CousinSubs.com. You can also download the app. You can check out for catering. You can check out for delivery at select locations. Or just place your order. Go get it. It's that simple. That is our friends at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Let's bring in Paul Emig, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Our green and gold analyst now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, Cobb is gone. He is now with the Dallas Cowboys. Clay Matthews now with the Rams. And I had said last night, look, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse in the NFL. And doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for better is not necessarily the smartest. And the money that they were going to pay those guys, they could have used elsewhere. So to me, it was kind of a no-brainer. I mean, it's sad to see some of the mainstays go, but it's time to move on.
I mostly agree. I would just say I'm surprised that – both contracts surprised me, but for different reasons. Randall Cobb, 1 year, $5 million, to me, is a pretty good deal. I'm not saying Green Bay should have re-signed him, because I think they have other options, and I wouldn't doubt for a second if they hit slot receiver as one of their first 4 or 5 draft picks. But for 1 year for $5 million, I thought, if I was giving Dallas a grade for the value that they got, that's a B-plus type value, I think. Now they're trying to replace Beasley, so, I think that's a downgrade overall for Dallas. But nonetheless, I think they got a good deal there. How Clay Matthews got that level of contract?
I have no idea.
How did that happen?
How are they going to use him?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to have to be, in a specialist role and you know, when you're as good as what the Rams defense is, you can have some specialists like Clay Matthews, but what was it, 2 years, $14.75 million, right? Something like that. And I saw that Ian Rappaport had mentioned on Twitter that, Matthews had more lucrative offers elsewhere but wanted to go close to home. Someone was offering him more than 2 and 14?
Right. I want to know who.
I mean, he and Aaron Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers share an agent, and obviously that's a power player among NFL agents. But man, that guy is earning every penny of his commission on those contracts, because my goodness, that's so obviously if you were to have asked on Twitter or asked on your show, like, hey, Packers fans, the Packers can get Matthews back 2 years and $14.75 million, I mean, what, 95% plus would have said, no hard pass, I would assume.
Right.
But I think a higher percentage would say, hey, Packers fans, do you want Cobb back for 1 year and $5 million? I think, you know, I would think probably still the majority would say no thanks, but I think it'd probably be closer to 50-50 than the Matthews contract. So Cobb surprised me. I thought he would have got a little bit more. I think it tells you where he's at in terms of maybe his recent injuries playing a negative factor on his ability. And, yeah, Matthews, Bill, honestly, I think if Matthews stays healthy in Los Angeles, that defense is so stacked that he has a chance to really, I think, excel in a specialist-type role. But I'm very surprised they paid that amount, especially knowing that he wanted to play there. He wanted to, quote-unquote, go home. And I think they said the training facility is 3 minutes from his house. He just had his third kid. I mean, it makes so much sense for him personally. I just, he should give his agent a nice Christmas gift because I think that's a really much bigger contract than I think most people expected, myself included.
Okay, here's the thought. Now, I'm listening nationally and outside looking in. I'm listening to Paul Allen coming in this morning. I'm listening to Chicago radio, and then I was listening to the NFL Network. And all basically stated, look, you've got Mason Crosby, Tremont Williams, who since has come back to the team and now with the team, Brian Bulaga and Aaron Rodgers. That's it left over from that Super Bowl team. And anytime you have Aaron Rodgers, you got a shot. But they all say the Packers in the midst of a complete rebuild. From their general manager to their coaching staff to now player personnel, they've cut ties with damn near everybody. And it hit me. I thought, wait a minute, they really are, aren't they?
Well, I mean, the Super Bowl, if you think about, does it feel to you like Randall Cobb has been a Packer for a long time? Does it feel that way?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I would agree. To me, it feels like Randall Cobb has been a Packer for a long time. 8 years in the NFL is a long time. And Cobb was here for the entirety of the post-Super Bowl run, meaning, you know, he was a rookie when they came back from winning the Super Bowl. So, you know, I know how you say, like, the only guys who are left from that Super Bowl team is obviously a very, 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 very small list. You could literally count them on one hand. But that's how fast the NFL moves in 8 years. That, you know, the Packers win the Super Bowl. The following, you know, 2 months later, when there's the NFL draft of 2011, 2 months after winning the Super Bowl, they take a wide receiver named Randall Cobb out of the second round out of Kentucky. Randall Cobb plays 8 successful years in Green Bay, and then he's gone. But that's, I mean, think about that. For me, Cobb has been a Packer for a long time in my own head, and I think that just tells you, like, 8 years in the NFL is a lifetime. It's, you know, it's just such a long period of time that unless you're a quarterback, I mean, that's like a long shelf life for any NFL player, much less with one organization. So that would be, I think, my drawback to that conclusion. And then the other thing I would say is that I don't think rebuild is the correct word. I would call it maybe retooling on the fly, which is maybe a shade above. You know, like, it's different, though, isn't it? Because, like, when I hear rebuild, I would mean the Packers are trading Aaron Rodgers for the number one overall pick in the draft so that they can draft Kyler Murray.
Okay.
And they're going to trade David Bakhtiari for, you know, the 20th overall pick. And they're going to trade they're going to really take all of their big contracts and they're going to shed them in exchange for draft picks. When Rodgers is your quarterback, you know, and I know he's had two bad seasons in a row, you know, we all wait to see if he gets back to quote-unquote normal. But he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, one of the best quarterbacks ever. David Bakhtiari, one of, if not the best left tackle in the league. When you have two guys like that, and then you have other strong pieces around him for the most part, and I'm talking about Kenny Clark, an emerging player, Mike Daniels, a very good player, Jaire Alexander, an emerging player, Corey Linsley, a top-five NFL center, Devontae Adams, a top-five NFL wide receiver. You're not rebuilding when you have that many really, really good assets. If you were rebuilding, in my opinion, it's up to the definition can be up to the interpretation, but you would shed those guys in exchange for cheaper, younger pieces and or picks. So I kind of look at more as like a retool on the fly, and that's, you know, probably nitpicking a little bit on the language. But this is a team that I think most people would say, and this has not been true in recent years, Bill. I saw some odds that came out over the weekend, and it said the Packers, it was like the odds of winning the Super Bowl for next year. And I'm so used to the Packers being one of the first four teams mentioned. It just, when I saw them 12th,
right,
behind the Colts, behind the Bears, behind the Browns, I was like, I had to, like, do a double take, because it's just so it's just a different world than what that this franchise has been in for the past, you know, long period of time. But I still believe that even if they are ranked 12th in terms of odds to win the Super Bowl, and they clearly have taken some steps back, would anybody really be surprised if the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers were in the NFC Championship game this year? I wouldn't. I would not be surprised.
Right.
I mean, that's just how good he's capable of being. And, again, having Bakhtiari, having Adams, having Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams as a tandem, having Lindsley as a center, I think, you know, they're far away, and they're also close, if that makes sense, because I think that's just how big the pendulum can swing when you have a quarterback like that.
As I sat here and watched the names of Cobb and Matthews make the exodus, and then I'll give you one more, and then we'll get out of here. But it kind of hit me. It was a deflating day as a Packers fan, I guess.
Sure,
that might be the best way to put it. But it also made me think, okay, is this team better or are they worse? How much talent they have on the come? How big and meaningful a draft this is?
Huge.
And with everything going on, for this team to get back to the postseason this year, I mean, everything would have to start to click. Wouldn't it? I mean, granted, the offensive unit, for the most part, short of maybe changing some pieces on the right side of the offensive line, everything's pretty much intact. All you did was lose one guy. You know, you kept everybody else on the same page. You still got a pretty good running tandem. You still got the quarterback. You still got a good left side of your offensive line. You need some depth. But everything else is pretty much the same if you can pick up another wide receiver to really be another guy. But defensively speaking, man, there is so much over there that there's incoming and there's outgoing. And, boy, Mike Pettine has got a work cut out for him, doesn't he?
He does. And I don't know if the Kool-Aid I had this morning was a mixture of limeade and lemonade, you know, a little green and gold mixture, and if I accidentally – you know, drank too much of it. But I feel like I might be a little bit more optimistic on the immediate future of the team. And, you know, you said almost everything would have to go right. Correct me if I misquoted you here, but, like, pretty much everything would have to go right for them to make the postseason. Is that just to make the playoffs?
For as strong as the Bears and the Vikings have been, yeah.
Yeah, and that's certainly possible. I guess I look at the rest of the NFC and I say, I mean, maybe again, and I feel like I'm probably coming out more on like the Mark Murphy end of this thing, which is like, this is not, and maybe this goes back to what you were hearing on national, you know, TV and national radio. I guess I just don't buy into this being a rebuild where Mark Murphy is going to give LaFleur a year or two to get this team back to the playoffs. I don't think that's the expectation from upper management, Mark Murphy. And I just don't think that you can have, I don't care if, you know, Rodgers was obviously hurt in 2017. 2018 was a bad year. He clearly, to Mercedes Lewis's point on that one show a couple months ago, had no interest in calling the play that Mike McCarthy brought into the huddle. And then, of course, McCarthy was fired. And now they have a first-year head coach. But I still don't think that, you know, when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of any franchise, that team should ever go through a 3-4 year playoff drought. They've already had a 2-year playoff drought. You know, they brought in a new coach. They've refigured most of, if not the entire, offensive coaching staff and parts of the defensive coaching staff, and they got spending in free agency. Now they have 3 picks in the top 44 of the draft. Again, I don't know if this is overly optimistic or if I'm giving Rodgers just too much credit for his ability to swing the pendulum of a single team, because, again, I think we found out how much he can do and when it's just too much for any one player to overcome, especially when that player is not really listening to the head coach anymore. But I have a stronger sense of optimism about where this team is going. And I think if they go through a 6-10, 7-9 year, I think that falls for me under the category of inexcusable, you know, because again, what Brian Gutekunst did last offseason in re-signing Aaron Rodgers to this record-breaking contract, even though he had all this leverage. He could have had 2 years left in his contract, 2 years of franchise tagging him, but Gutekunst in the front office said, nope, we got to take care of him. We got to make him happy. We got to do these things. We're going to fire the head coach, Mike McCarthy, with 4 games left in the regular season. We're going to bring in a new guy, a 39-year-old head coach, you know, from an offensive coordinator in Tennessee. We're going to do all these things. And if we're going to spend in free agency, oh my gosh, on day 2 of free agency, you're going to spend $100 million. And if all of those things result in a 6-10, 7-9, 8-8 season, I think that would be categorized as a failure, mm-hmm. not like as a disappointment, but as a failure. So I think I have, again, there's so much for us to learn about this team. They still have to go through the draft process. There's going to be more pieces added, I assume, small pieces, but pieces nonetheless, in free agency or some sort of like post-draft sort of waiver claims. But I don't know. I think, Bill, I think I might have a higher level of, if not optimism, then maybe expectation for what I think this team should do, that I don't think this should take a couple of years to turn around. And I think if it does, LaFleur is going to be looking for a different job in a couple of years. So I don't think he has that much distance in Mark Murphy's mind, that much leash, I should probably say, in Mark Murphy's mind to take that long. I think the expectation for Murphy is this better happen this year.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again tomorrow, okay?
All right, thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Paul Lemming, our Green Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. When we come back, the voice of the Murray State Racers talking Marquette 5-12 matchup. Neil Bradley, he'll join us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. We certainly appreciate you taking a listen to us. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. They have the Quick Rewards card. They have the Quick Rewards fleet card. If you're a fleet driver out there, and we get a lot of truck drivers that take a listen to the program all over the state of Wisconsin, well beyond the borders. As a matter of fact, I got a friend of mine in Iowa right now. And boy, a lot of flooding out in Iowa as well. Seeing some pictures. Holy mackerel. And if you're out there driving around and you're within the sound of our voice and you got a Quick Trip nearby, stop in and get the Quick Rewards fleet card and start earning yourself some points. And in addition to that, start earning yourself some stuff that you deserve. Some free burgers, showers, some free gas for that matter. So take a listen, stop in a Quick Trip, tell them we sent you. Good stuff. We've got another 5-12 matchup to discuss as Marquette heading out to Hartford, Connecticut. Taking on the Murray State Racers, the voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Neil, how you doing today?
Doing well. I'm in an NCAA tournament, sitting courtside. What could beat that?
That is fantastic. As now, you're at the tournament now. Are you at a practice day today, I would assume?
Yeah, it's practice day. They've had, I think, the early games. They've already gone through their practice sessions. So in, I think, the next few minutes, we'll start to get the night session teams. They'll get on the floor for 40 minutes and then have a 20-minute media interview. So we're kind of here just taking it all in today.
Now, in the state of Kentucky, Kentucky basketball, and then a little corner of the state is Louisville basketball. You've got the Norse that are now playing well in northern Kentucky. Murray State is located. Nobody even knows where the hell Murray, Kentucky is. I happen to, living in Cincinnati all those years, but the fact that you guys are there and you're representing the state of Kentucky as well, got to feel good, man.
Yeah, very much so. You know, we've had our share of success in the tournament, but we're from what is usually a one-bid league. We got two in, got a win last night with Belmont getting a victory, but there's always a lot of pressure to win our conference tournament. That's usually the only way that you can get to an NCAA tournament. But, yeah, fans are excited. This has been a little extra exciting with the John Morant story that has developed as the season's gone on.
Well, I was going to ask you about him because seemingly coming out of nowhere, that 6'3 sophomore averaging almost 25 points a game, and now he's being pegged as one of the guys coming out into the NBA draft that's going to be this superstar scorer. Talk a little bit about how Murray State ended up with this guy.
Well, it was kind of really happenstance. We were looking at a kid named Tevin Brown, who the Racers were able to get. James Kane, who's now an assistant under Steve Frome at Iowa State, was at an event in, I think it was in North Carolina. And Ja's team actually wasn't supposed to play. Another team canceled, so Ja's team got in it. So they were warming up with some three-on-three in a side gym. James Kane got hungry, went back to get a snack, looked over and saw him make a few passes between his legs, behind his back, some other things. Talked to him, called Matt McMahon, says, I think I see a kid we may need to sign. They offered him that afternoon. He made a visit to Murray, and signed on the spot when he got there.
Man, you talk about happenstance. That's just that's an amazing, amazing story about how he gets exposed and found. Now you're into the tournament, so it's going to be this Morant story against Howard's story, but Howard coming in with a sore wrist. So do those two equal each other and kind of negate each other to where everybody else has to step up, or who has the upper hand in your opinion?
I don't know. Many times we see these games where you look at that head-to-head matchup and it never materializes. Either one outshines the other or someone else steps up for the other team and has a big game. But I've seen both. I just watched Howard shoot, so I don't know how hurt he is. I watched him hit 17 out of 23 point shots, and I got disgusted and stopped wanting to watch. So I don't know how hurt he's supposed to be, how good he would be if he's not hurt, but I don't know what the heck is up with that. He looks great to me.
Looking at the wrist update, apparently it's something where it's feeling okay, I guess. He was asked about it. He said, "I've been seeing our athletic trainer each day, taking precautions. Said he's ready to go. I don't think he's going to come out and go, you know what, it's hurting, it's really bad, and I'm barely going to be able to play in the tournament." Nobody says that, right?
Yeah, I don't think so either. But it is going to be tremendous. I watch him, and here's what I like when I watched him play. He was out here 40 minutes, and he never played a second without a smile on his face. He's having a good time out there, having fun with his teammates. That's what it's all about. I'm really looking forward to at least watching him play from a basketball standpoint. My enthusiasm may dim if he goes off for 10 or 11 threes against us, but he's going to be a fun player to watch. But so is Morant, and he's not going to score like that. He won't shoot like that, but he can get to the rim with some amazing explosiveness. He does have athleticism like I've never seen at a Murray State player before. He can distribute. He knows when it's time to make it happen. He can get to the rim. He can also get to the free throw line. So he just does amazing things that I've not seen at Murray State.
So let me ask you this, because not only is it about Morant, but it's also about the defense they play. Their perimeter defense, one of the tops in the country.
Yeah, it really is. And if I looked at Marquette's stats, if they had 2 3-point shooters, I'd feel good about it. I would go ahead and pencil us in to Saturday. They have 4 guys that hit over 40%. Who does that? I watched their 6'8 kid knocking down 1 3 after another. He's supposedly their defensive specialist. He shot it almost as well as Howard did. So, man, they got just a ton of guys. I don't know if we can cover all of them. That's going to be, to me, a big key. Maybe we can shut down a couple. I can't see us knocking down all 4 of them.
Does Murray State come into this game as a team with nothing to lose, or do they come into this team with tournament and game with a chip on their shoulder saying we've got something to prove?
Well, I think they have that. I think it's the latter. Last year, in my opinion, the Racers got a terrible matchup against an underseeded West Virginia team. I had pretty much had us penciled in several teams I thought we'd play, and then I saw West Virginia come up as a 5, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. We didn't match up well against them at all, had big size issues, and then really didn't shoot it well. But I don't know if we played that game 10 times, if we win it more than once, if we won it one time. This one is at least a bit more of a favorable matchup from a size standpoint. And I do think Morant, yeah, he was happy to be in the tournament last year. He seems to be focused to want to go further this year, win at least a game, maybe more if you could get past the first one. Same with Shaq Buchanan, another senior who seems to have the chip on the shoulder from last year, has a bad taste in their mouth to leave San Diego by getting pounded by West Virginia.
Real quick before I let you go, so give me a couple of things that have to happen for this team, for Murray State to get a win.
I think you have to hold Marquette to under 35% from three-point range. If they hit their 40%, if Howard's able to get his 25-plus and they get one other player with 15, I think it'll be a tough day for the Racers. However, for the Racers to win, if Tevin Brown makes his first 3, they'll win the game. That's my prediction. He gets hot when he makes his first.
Yeah.
He misses his first. We're in big trouble.
That we're all going to be paying attention to now. Everybody in this area has now circled that comment. I tell you what, Neil, I appreciate you joining us for a couple of minutes. Thanks for spending some time, and enjoy the weekend, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Neil Bradley, voice of the Murray State Racers down in Murray, Kentucky, in case you don't know where that is. Murray, Kentucky. You hear about Kentucky basketball, you hear about Louisville basketball, but Murray, Kentucky. The Racers in Hartford, Connecticut, taking on the Marquette Golden Eagles, getting it all underway. So anyway, in the first round of the NCAA tournament, he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it on. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 800 844-PRIDE. 44 Pride, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. They tip that thing off tomorrow. When we come back, a fantastic achievement, and it's by somebody that that I know, and I wanted to make a mention of it because I just think it's cool as hell, and it's halfway around the world. But I'm gonna talk about that coming up next. Also, we're going to talk about Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, both of those guys off to other teams, and it was a little bit of a deflating day for Packers Nation. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. Kind of a neat story coming up here momentarily. We'll also talk a little bit more about the Bucs in case you're just tuning us in. Some breaking news regarding another injury. We'll get into that discussion coming up here in just a moment as well. Hey, I want to remind you that our friends at Curly's Waterfront Bar and Grill, Pub and Grill, fantastic place. And I know I use the word fantastic all the time, but a lot of these places I've been to. So when these people came on as sponsors, it's like, this is easy. Hey, can you say a little bit about us? I mean, you bet, because I go out there. Curly's Waterfront Pub and Grill, man, they're fantastic. They're a lot of great people. It's a great view, by the way. You sit out on that. I can't wait for warmer weather to sit out on that balcony and overlook Pewaukee Lake. But it's really, really good food. All kinds of different brews and cocktails and fresh-made food. And they have bands and ticket giveaways. And they do a lot of charitable stuff. And Curly's has been around a long time. And that's a terrific place out there in Lake Country. Lakeview Boulevard in Pewaukee. Go to curlyswaterfrontpub.com or just follow them on Facebook. Hey, if you're going to be doing some NCAA tournament watching and you got your cigar guy or a hookah person, this is it. Nice Ash, West Main Street, downtown Waukesha. Once they open up, it is all basketball all the time. They have spirits, beers, really good cigars, those big plush leather chairs, or you can sit up around the bar if you want. They have entertainment on the weekends, but hookahs, and their clientele is fantastic, but the people behind the bar, whether it's Jim or Angie or Joanne or anyone of them, they're just such great people, and they really do take care of the customer. You talk about customer first, that is a fantastic place. And downtown Waukesha, if you haven't been down there in a while, they just renovated the whole joint down there, everything. New bars, new microbrews, new wine bars, art galleries. Man, downtown Waukesha is awesome. Just awesome. Stop down. That is the nice, they, as I say, get your ash in there. TheNiceAsh.com. Go to TheNiceAsh.com. And also our friend Mike Mack. It's that time of year. I hate to say it, but yes. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Tax time. Check out Mike Mack. He's got a way of getting some Wisconsinites out of some trouble or maybe helping you file your taxes. Go to MikeMack.com. That's MikeMack.com, the tax attorney that can help you out. If you were in a jam, nobody wants to be in debt to the IRS. That's for darn sure. We'll get back into the Bucs coverage and Packers coverage here momentarily. But there's a friend of mine, Ken, and I know him by Big Ken. Every time I go into Stanley's, there he is, okay? Whether it's Ryan or anybody else, JoJo or whoever, Natalie behind the bar, LJ, there's always Ken. Ken's the guy that always hosts the costume party down there every year. We hang out with Ken, and he's a great guy. But I want to make sure I get his name right. I don't know how to pronounce his last name specifically, but it's Kummerlein. I believe it's Kummerlein. And Ken is a guy with a big heart, but he went over to Abu Dhabi with a young man named Ryan. And Ryan was a part of Special Olympics, and that's where the Special Olympics was being held. Okay? And they went over there as part of Team USA and part of the Team USA golf team. They took bronze. Congratulate! If you don't know, you know anything about the Special Olympics, I mean, come on, you go look it up for yourself. But it's the Special Olympics World Games 2019. It's in Abu Dhabi, and congratulations to Ken. They took bronze representing the United States. That is right here from the state of Wisconsin. That is a fantastic story, and I hope more media members and maybe some of the local television stations get involved because that's fantastic. Congratulations to Ken and Ryan, and you can find them, if you're looking for it on Facebook, you can go to Ryan, R-Y-O-N, R-Y-O-N, Ryan and Ken's Adventure to Abu Dhabi World Games 2019. Follow that on Facebook, and you can see all the pictures and everything they got going on, but that's fantastic. That's really, really cool. I figured it'd be a good golf story. You're as into golf as you are, Joe. That's kind of cool. And to play those courses over there. And Abu Dhabi, man, that's awesome as well. But good stuff. So the Bucks make the announcement a little bit earlier today, in case you're just tuning in, that Mirotić has a fractured thumb. A fractured thumb. And he is going to be out anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks, which is going to put him back about the start of of the postseason. Then you've got Brogdon, who's probably going to be about at least the start of the second round. Okay, so that's Bucks news. Then you've got Brewers news. And we want to get into this as well, because in case you're just tuning us in, there's Brewers news to talk about. As Craig Kimbrell, one of the better closers in baseball, okay, he is apparently at least close to a deal with the Brewers. I'm not kidding. Closer Craig Kimbrell, an impressive resume, going 9 seasons in the big leagues, a microscopic, as they say, 191 ERA, played with the Red Sox, that red beard that he sports with a .92 whip, 333 saves and a 14.7 strikeout to nine inning ratio. And he has been fantastic. And Ken Rosenthal and now other outlets reporting. Who's the other one? John Heyman?
John Heyman is John saying Heyman? That they're in. They're not close to a deal, but the talks are serious.
The talks are serious.
And
yeah.
This was compared to a different report late last night. Tom Hondrecourt had it around midnight that they weren't, you know, near anything close to a deal. So something must have changed between now and the last, 12 hours. But John Heyman now reporting that talks are getting serious between the Brewers and Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah, Ken Rosenthal having it yesterday after, late evening, mid-evening, saying that they were talking, and then it's apparently heated up. But, yeah, can you imagine a bullpen that this team would have if indeed they ended up signing Kimbrell? Jeffress comes back. Corey Knebel is solid. Hader is Hader. Wow. That's just that. All you need to do as a starter now is to get 5 innings. If that, you know, and every now and then turn it over, you know, go 3 or 4 and turn it over to the middle relief. But that would be the best bullpen in baseball. I mean, hands down. The Brewers already have one of the strongest bullpens in the National League. They added Josh Fields on that minor league deal a couple of days ago. And if they end up adding Kimbrell, and like I said, Jeffress comes back after that, you know, that shoulder weakness. Wow. That's just, that's incredible. I mean, last year they split the closer duties among Hader and Knebel and Jeffress, and they combined for 43 saves as a group last year, and after winning the National League Central and taking the Dodgers to Game 7 of the NLCS, they make a couple of big splashes this offseason, signing Yasmani Grandal, bringing back Mike Moustakas. And if you can cap it off by throwing Kimbrell in there, holy moly, that would be solid. Now, I know that there were some reports that the Brewers already are, quote, stretching their budget. But man, that's exciting. That's exciting. So we'll see what continues to transpire and unfold, but nevertheless, there you go. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. The excitement. Think of this. Just how good, in your opinion, would the Brewers be if they did indeed pick up Kimbrell? How good would they be if they did indeed pick up Kimbrell in your thoughts? 855-830-8648. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues on. Hey, reminder, coming up tomorrow night, we are going to be down in Major Goolsby's tomorrow night. We're going to be down there hanging out. Eric Bledsoe of the Milwaukee Bucks is going to be our guest. Is the Bucks in Cleveland, back in town tomorrow. Yours truly, Steve Novak, down there tomorrow night as well. Get down there early, be a face in the crowd. There's probably going to be a lot of people down there watching some basketball as well as the NCAA tournament gets underway. So hope to see you down there as a face in the crowd tomorrow night. As the Milwaukee Basketball Hour gets underway, 6 to 7 tomorrow night, right here on many of these same stations. Bad news for the Bucks is Mirotić out 2 to 4 weeks. The official notice just came out a little while ago saying they found a sprain. Dr. William Rosh Fraidert found a sprain and a fracture in the thumb. And they said a timetable will be set, but we've heard anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks, so now we'll have to wait and see. Sean says the Brewers, if they add Kimbrel, equal the 2019 championship season for real. Fear the beer. RJ says, if this is true and Kimbrel ends up coming to the Brewers, there is nobody in baseball that can beat this team after five innings. They just won the Central. Jason says they will have by far the best bullpen, but the best rotation will go to the Chicago Cubs. One will have to equal out the other. Then it comes down to offense. I believe the Brewers are going to have a better offense this year than they had last year, and they scored quite a few runs. I think the Brewers now have the edge, but they have to sign Kimbrel to do it. This one's from Jeff, who writes in the Wendy's email inbox, looking forward to the Brewers signing Kimbrel. If they use payroll as the excuse not to, I will be disappointed. They asked us to be patient through the rebuild. We still spent our money and put 2.5 million people through the turnstiles. I hope they spend a little bit extra and go for it. That would please me greatly. That is Jeff. Jeff, like I said, they've spent money. I completely agree with you. They have spent money, and they've done extremely well. Bringing back Moustakas, signing Yasmani Grandal, making some of the moves they have made, making sure when they've traded away some guys that, you know, maybe were a little more experienced, but they wanted guys with flexibility when it comes to options. Options have made them extremely valuable. You know, they've obviously upped the ante when they made the trades last year for Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, and, you know, what they've done with Travis Shaw, Moustakas playing second, and Arcia over at short, and, you know, they seem extremely solid now. They've managed the pain management when it comes to Ryan Braun. They've tried to invest in that bullpen, and they believe they had a depth of starters. And now we'll see. If you can't go after that, say, Dallas Keuchel as one of your main starters, look for a guy that can help you every day, and that would then be Kimbrel. And if Kimbrel can do it, and then you can start rotating guys in the back end of that bullpen and just get to the fifth inning with a lead, or at least a score that's tied, it's very difficult for teams to beat you after that point with what you have as far as your lineup. Now, you have to hope that Jeremy Jeffers comes back and he's healthy and strengthens that shoulder and there isn't any damage there of any kind. Because if there is, well, then maybe that's one of the reasons they're talking to Kimbrel, because Kimbrel then becomes the security blanket. If Jeffers can't return, then you still have Kimbrel, Knable, and Hader back there. Otherwise, if he is going to come back and you then have four deep, holy mackerel. Now you have flexibility of all types back there. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This one's from Jameel, who writes, I was disappointed to see Randall Cobb leave. I thought he would have been a better veteran wide receiver than even Devontae Adams to have on this team since he's been around Aaron Rodgers longer. Devontae Adams is extremely solid, but he needs another guy alongside him. I thought you should be able to move Randall Cobb out to the wide, put in Geronimo Allison in the slot, and that would make Geronimo even better. The problem with that theory is that Randall's not a wide. He's always been a slot receiver. He's not big enough to go downfield and go to get a ball at the apex. He's not fast enough to just blow people away, especially speedy corners on the outside. That's why he was such a good slot receiver. But you have to have the personnel to do it. You had to have a Devontae Adams on one side and maybe a guy like Jordy in his heyday on the other. And then that made Randall a really good slot receiver because you had to pick your poison. You had to double one or the other. And that left Randall, you know, sometimes with a safety or a linebacker one-on-one, and he got the better of him. But once you didn't have Jordy on the opposite side and Jimmy Graham didn't turn out to be the dude and Geronimo went down, well, yeah, you had some speed, but you didn't have to cover that speed on the outside with a very veteran, savvy wide, cornerback. And that's where Randall was drawing better safeties and better coverages, and he wasn't able to get open. So, you know, it never materialized. Plus, he was hurt last year for most of the season. But so anyway. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. It's kind of funny. If you follow Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com on Twitter, he is outside American Family Fields of Phoenix, where he said, insert joke about Craig Kimbrell rumors here. He took a picture, and right next to the American Family Fields of Phoenix is a Brinks truck that is now outside the stadium. And obviously, you know, they're bringing in money and stuff for the games and the concessions and stuff. But he says, insert joke here. That's a hell of a picture. That's fantastic. So kudos to Adam McAlvey for a little creativity right there. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Carlos writes, big Brewers fan. I think the Brewers, if they sign Kimbrell, take over the Cubs right here, right now. Book it. John writes, Cubs fans are going to be crying. Darvish pitched well yesterday, but ultimately hurt his finger. They're going to be waiting for him to come back after laser and cream repair. And I think I did hear that he's going to treat the tip of that finger with some cream and then a laser treatment. I don't know specifically what, but the Brewers get off to a fast start. They never look back. They take the Central. Cubs fans are left wondering what would have been. There you go. We'll end on that note. Bucks coming up tonight on the road in Cleveland. Tomorrow night, don't forget, we're going to be down at Major Goolsby's 6 to 7 tomorrow night. Going to be on the road. The Milwaukee Basketball Hour, Steve Novak, yours truly, and Eric Bledsoe. Get down there early, be a face in the crowd. We also have a week from tomorrow, our opening day broadcast live from Hellfair Field as the Brewers get set to open up the 2019 championship season. And if you want to see my NCAA tournament bracket as it is now complete, go to our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/TheBillMichaelShow. That's there as well. Good stuff. Keep in touch, and we'll be back again at it tomorrow. Until then, have a good one. See you.
Stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.